On this episode of DC On Screen, we have word from MCU head honcho Kevin Feige on the possibility of a Marvel-DC crossover film. We explain why The Suicide Squad was not necessarily a flop and get into this Black Canary news, all after these snakes sell you their slick, lustrous oil. Welcome into DC On Screen episode 643. On this podcast, we share our honest opinions about the DC Comics multiverse on film and television. If it has been released, it is fair game, so beware of spoilers and welcome to the show. I'm David C. Robertson, and this, the man who I shall assist in the installation of a needlessly complicated microwave, Jason Goss.
It's going to be a long day.
Maybe. Don't put that darkness on my house, Ricky Bobby.
I'm just planning for the worst.
I'd like to enjoy my day tomorrow. I don't necessarily want to have to just dread it outright, you know?
Yeah. No, it's. We'll see if it goes smoothly. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll try.
That's the plan.
Before we get into whatever news we have, and we do have some, I would like to remind you that you can go to dconscreen.com. to find links to our Patreon, where $5 a month gets you access to exclusive content. We have a new patron to welcome in, Alan Hughes. Thank you for your support, Alan.
Yes.
I did get excited just for a minute. I thought it was Adam Hughes just for a second, and then it was Alan, and I was like, oh, well, still thank you, Alan.
You have to remind me who Adam is.
He is a fantastic comic book artist.
Ah, okay.
Widely heralded,
gotcha.
Legendary, iconic.
I'm sure you're right. I just don't recognize
Adam Hughes.
Name. I like Alan. Yes.
Mm. There's also a donor. Well, he's the one that gave us money.
There you go.
There's also
real close to my heart, real quick.
There's also a donate button on and a link to our merch store if you'd like to support us in other ways. And as always, thank you for any support you can throw our way. Mm-hmm. Now. Man, so Brandon Davis of comicbook.com was talking to Kevin Feige.
Uh-huh.
And he asked about the James Gunn Marvel versus DC stuff that James has been talking about. And look, man, this is the closest we've ever gotten. Kevin Feige said, never say never. It's not news, but it's news.
We had mentioned something similar, like... after a crossover like Endgame,
yeah,
with all that built to, like, what's the next step? You know, where do we even go? And it was one of the things in the playbook was bringing somebody over from another universe.
Mm-hmm. I'm down, you know, man. Everybody's doing multiverse these days. Why not do it?
Yeah, but you know those things where you're like, I'm not for or against it. Which I guess sounds weird. I don't mind them being completely separate and having their own playgrounds, and I'm not, mm-hmm, like, just desperate to see, you know, what a Superman-Thor standoff would look like or something. Those aren't the things that normally keep me up at night.
Well, I don't necessarily need it to be like Marvel versus DC. I just want to see the characters interact. And also, I you know, I'm like the Professor X of comic book geeks. I want us to all peacefully coexist.
Sure, absolutely.
Well, clearly, you're the Magneto.
No, I'm just a bit apathetic. I would absolutely.
you're millennial Magneto. It's just like, kind whatever.
At least like a Gambit who would just rather play cards and fuck off almost. But I would love to see it if it was going to happen. If it never happened, my emotions will be unperturbed.
Yeah. No, either way, I'm probably going to, you know, die
nothing
screaming.
But upside here for me, though. Let's put it that way. Like, I'm not.
That was needlessly dark.
I mean, I guess. It's also just such a grand thing. I'm not getting my hopes up about something like that yet.
Ah, I need hope. I need hope, man. I need that Superman symbol.
Oh, I do.
All right.
I'm afraid what we're going to end up getting instead is like, they're going to fuck around with Cavill for too long, and he's finally not going to be able to get back on the schedule, and then we're just suddenly going to have a Captain Britain movie.
Yeah, maybe.
No, I don't know. I'm down. I'd watch it. But it's not my preferred use of Henry Cavill.
Yeah, I'd like to see him back in the cape.
Yep.
Over to the Suicide Squad. Mm-hmm. So while we were out, while we were away, the Suicide Squad opened theatrically to 26.5 million at the box office. Lots of people screaming about it's a flop, it's a flop, it's a flop. Okay, well, yes, it underperformed, but
kind of not really.
Understand, they projected it at like 30 million.
I mean, I was gonna cut in and joke with you when you're like 26.5. I was gonna people, look, man, all the context in the world, and I know a lot of people don't need to hear this because if you've opened Twitter, you've been just inundated with this argument over and over again, but with all that's going on, that is just not that bad a figure.
I've watched
this movie three times. I'm not going to the fucking theater to see it right now.
Yeah, and you know, through the Hollywood Reporter, they were talking about, like, you know, how this was the second biggest opening they had on HBO Max. So,
sure. I'll tell you what, if you want to test these numbers, let's do this. Go ahead and give me the pre-release for the, you know, the Blu-ray and stuff.
Yeah.
Go ahead and let me get the pre-orders in. Because I guarantee you those numbers will reflect more accurately the people that were really interested in this film than box office numbers that, hey, look, maybe one day they'll mean something again, but right now they are fucking worthless.
Yep, pretty much. And look, HBO Max hasn't released their firm numbers, but Samba TV said that they found
Canadian,
I have no idea. It's just a smart TV viewer tracking service. But they don't get everybody. They can't measure everybody. That was the big problem that we had with them in relation to Zack Snyder's Justice League.
Yeah, I remember running across those, trying to remember where they were based. But yeah, I remember that it was also one of the closest figures we were given.
Yeah. So Samba TV found 2.8 million U.S. households watched The Suicide Squad between August 6th and 8th. Or 8th. God, what's wrong with me?
How many did you say?
2.8 million U.S. households.
See, I ran across another figure that said as high as 4.
Maybe.
Either way.
I'm just looking at Samba TV.
That's plenty of people. I mean, yeah. Just what's some rough math here? Hold on. Let's just. Did you bother doing it on the rough math here?
Well, I had rough math, and then I kind of honed it a little bit because I figured, you know, like 2.8 million, that's for households, right? So you take in 2.8 times 2 because you assume that everyone's going to go with a friend.
Mm-hmm.
That's 5.6 million people. The average movie ticket price domestically is $9.16. So if you just look at that, it's like 51 million.
That sounds
$51.2 million opening weekend.
And you know, I've relatively seen conservative average of 2.
Mm-hmm.
We're in one of the lower cost of living states in the United States, and our tickets cost way more than $9.16.
They do. When I originally did it, I came out to like $121 million, but that was adding in the what they actually did in the box office and adding in the fact that our tickets are like 15, 16 bucks.
Yeah, I'd put it around 15 personally. I mean, 12 if I want to be a little conservative on that figure too, around here.
Yeah.
Either way, those are not, those just really aren't bad figures. Plus, add the 30 million or whatever the actual numbers were this weekend on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
And you have something, I think, a lot closer. Like, I think they break 100 million easy opening weekend, no questions asked.
Yeah.
And then some mitigating factors. Like, there are people who just wouldn't ever watch something at home because that's a thing. Like, something like this. They just would only watch it in a theater.
Yeah.
Personally, I've expressed that I think that instinct is becoming a bit silly at this time.
Yeah.
But that's a little piece of the pie chart that's just people that weren't going to see it in that format that weekend or whatever. And then a whole other chunk of people that just don't have access to HBO Max, either because of financial or geographical reasons.
Yep, sadly.
That would otherwise like to see it. I mean, that might be another 15% between those two. 10, 15, maybe 20, if you're getting real crazy with it.
And you can't compare it to Black Widow, because Black Widow came out and they had, what was it, a 45, 50? What, I don't even remember. I don't even know. It's still not out on Disney Plus unless you pay the premium.
Oh yeah, it was like $30 to play it, to watch it that night, which I did, and I enjoyed it. But
and as much as people are wanting to be like, "Oh, well, Free Guy made $28 million," yeah, well, Free Guy didn't open on anything. Like, it opened on in theaters, but it didn't open on a day and date free to watch service. Yeah. Like, screw you. Like, that's not.
Yeah, that's not entirely comparable. And
this is a another
movie
situation.
That in a perfect world I would love to go see this weekend, along with the Marvel movie.
Shang-Chi.
Yeah. All I can remember was 10 right then. It's not an accurate representation of that title at all. Yeah, like I would love to see that this weekend. I'm not going to. It's just, I mean, I don't have time. But also, I don't want to go to a theater right this second.
Right.
I already have to go to work and put enough risk in my life for the moment. I'm not adding to it.
And that's fair. That's fair. It's so funny because, like, I have really no interest in Shang-Chi. I'll watch it eventually. But the fun thing about Shang-Chi is that I used to work with a guy, and he was, like, in his 60s. And I don't know why he knew Shang-Chi, but he would say some weird shit, and he'd just look at me and go, "Shang-Chi, master of kung fu." And I'm just like, he was obsessed with it. He would like always talk about weird. And I didn't ever followed Shang-Chi very much, but I was like, "What are you talking about?" And he's like, "Shang-Chi, master of kung fu." Like, he always had to throw in that part.
did you work with like Chris Farley for a moment or something?
No. He was a skinny, older guy with a big mustache.
It's just, that's the image I'm using to fill in the gaps for the moment is just some dude who's overly excited about the one thing and then keeps repeating the one line until it's funny.
Well, no, like, he had, like, movie posters and shit in his head. Like, the way he would talk to me, like, I would say something, you know, messed up like I do, and he would just kind of glare off into the distance and say, "A strange, troubled young man." And it's like some, and he explained it to me one day that it was like from some like drug use movie, like Reefer Madness or something, about a serial killer who did drugs or something.
It might be Reefer Madness then, for sure.
Yeah. And he just remembered he just remembered all of these like taglines from like movie posters from his youth, and he would just say shit like that. So I don't know. I kind of dug it for that reason. His name was Mike.
A little bit delightful.
Yeah, he was a fun guy. Anyway.
Oh.
Yeah.
I can get Reefer Madness on Amazon. That's a beautiful world we live in.
Sometimes. Yeah.
Oh, I can get it in VHS. That's interesting.
Samba TV, they said August 7th had the largest number of total viewers, first time or repeat, with 1.2 million U.S. households watching that day, while August 6th had the largest number of first-time viewers with 949,000 U.S. households watching for the first time that day. The audience skewed slightly female, younger, and towards households with Black and Hispanic viewers. So, once again, the diversity showing positive things. Sorry, guys. Sorry, angry white guys who think that woke goes broke. The numbers don't meet you out, baby.
It just don't be like that.
It don't. Anyway. What was the other thing? I was talking to Brent from Fans Without Borders. Fans?
Yeah.
Yeah. And Marvel Squadcast.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking to him. And from being Brent. I was talking to our buddy Pud 333. I was talking to my buddy Zaki Hassan. We were all just kind of, you know, talking about how like Brent was talking about, yeah, the pandemic isn't the only thing with Suicide Squad. So we just started naming things that contributed to the low number.
Oh, it's a good 10, 12 tangible things.
Yeah, like
simply pandemic. Confusion for some people. I don't know I don't know what context to put this movie in.
Exactly.
As someone who follows it as close as we do, I still don't completely know.
So
time
will
bear that out.
We came up with the pandemic because, you know, the Delta variant started coming about, Delta Plus, everyone's kind of started pulling back again.
Yeah.
Day and date streaming on HBO Max, free to watch, no premium price, R rating. Some people had issues with James Gunn's tweets, apathy after the first film, sequel confusion, because even my sister, who, you know, digs comic books, loves these kind of properties, said, "Why are they calling it The Suicide Squad? Is that it? Is it the sequel? Is it a reboot? What is it?"
Ryan's fiance had a similar question. He was like, I just don't. I think he said he liked the movie, but it was just like, I don't know what to exactly call it, though, category-wise. Like, and bro, I don't either yet.
And that way, you can go ahead and just say marketing right out.
Marketing would be an issue. I mean, the top two for, like, there's the top two, pandemic and day and date release. And then there's everything else in a category below it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Those are substantially affecting how this went. And then...
But, you know, Zachy pointed out, like, the thing that no one else is talking about. No Will Smith, no Joker, no Batman.
Yeah.
Those are big red flags.
I mean, it is for people that are in the know about it enough to know that that's the case.
I mean,
replaced it with other really big names. I mean, dude, I mean, Idris Elba is a fucking name.
Yeah, he's a name.
John Cena is even
apparently he's not big enough for you to remember how to pronounce his name.
I don't.
But he is a name.
I just don't. It's Idris Elba, right?
That one's for my wife, who I know just listened to the show and yelled the correct pronunciation.
What is it again? I'll learn eventually.
It's Idris.
Idris.
Idris Elba.
Idris Elba. Gotcha.
All right. So, but Will Smith is a way bigger name than Idris Elba. He just is.
I agree, but only if we're like comparing trading cards in the sense that he's big enough to be over a threshold where I don't think it should have mattered. I think probably true.
For general audience, I think no Will Smith, no Joker, no Batman. Those are huge, huge things.
I agree in this. All right. Only under the circumstance that if the general audience is, you know, aware enough to know that's even the case, because there's, you know, there's an information gap with GAs. So like,
well, they might have gone in thinking, like, when you look at the first Suicide Squad prominently featured in those trailers, you got a couple of shots of Batman and you got a couple of shots of Joker because they wanted to be like, hey, Joker and Batman are in this shit.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, his slow laugh is over one of the early, I think it's the first trailer that he's like laughing through like the last 20 seconds.
And by the way, I've run into a couple of people who think that Idris Elba is replacing Will Smith in a recasting situation.
Oh, yeah. No.
And recasts don't generally do that well. I mean, you have the outliers like, you know, Mark Ruffalo, but no one gave a shit about
or Norton's
Hulk. Yeah, he wasn't that big of a deal though at the time. They were just like, oh, that other guy got pissy, he had to go.
Yeah, I mean, okay. That was the backstory, is he got a little too fucking proud of himself and they're like, man, I'm sorry, you were a B character.
Like, man, you're not getting the same amount as Robert Downey Jr. in this movie, man. What are you talking about?
Look at his pages. All right, look at yours.
Yes.
Why do you think those cost the same?
Stop pointing to Hustle and Flow. We get it, but no.
Which was a great fucking movie. Don't get me wrong. And I hear Empire's fantastic.
I've heard it. I don't know.
I've also heard that dude's freaking insane on a personal level.
Yeah, I've heard he's got some issues.
And don't get me wrong. I don't mean like actually has mental disorders. I mean the other kind. Like if he actually had mental disorders, I would never say that about him. He may. Uh-huh. I've just never heard that's the issue. What I've heard instead is the dude's like, he thinks he's going to rewrite math. Like I think I may be remembering this wrong. He was deeply suspicious of the number one.
Can we revisit the idea that he might actually just be mentally challenged this?
Look, he might. But to me, there's like, when I say insane, I mean like dude's like deeply ignorant or something like that. If someone actually told me tomorrow that no, legitimately he has this, and this disorder. Cool. I'm taking that word off the table.
Uh-huh.
And also my opinion of him is going to change as well. I'm not even sure all that's right. I should revisit that morally at some point, but that's how I think right now.
Okay. Well, I mean, you look, man, this is a process, you know, I don't know. I guess somebody can tell us if we're wrong or assholes or something.
More than welcome. I'll probably agree with you.
I'll probably agree that Jason's an asshole.
Yeah. But I can change. Now we got that going.
Uh-huh. We've changed plenty since this podcast started, as people are want to point out.
Mm-hmm.
Moving away from box office, i.e. things that aren't actually a thing anymore.
Right.
Back
to the real world.
Apparently, Warner Brothers asked James Gunn to make the Suicide Squad a PG-13 movie. He says, I wrote the script the whole time thinking they would let me make it R. I mean, they asked, can you make this PG-13? I said, no.
I hope he said, fuck no.
He said, I said you can make it and take it with somebody else, and they can direct it, and you can do a PG-13. But if I'm going to direct it, I want it to be R. They were like, okay, that's worth the trade-off for us.
No, I like that. And I hope he's right. He's told a couple stories about, like, he's done a hard, there's a hard line to do, right, if you're him. He's got a couple little anecdotes like that where he's kind of stood up for himself.
Right.
You know, told the studio that, you know, this is how I really think it should be, or this is how it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
But he's also told some other stories about how they've been super supportive and helpful and create, you know, and, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
All that. So it's, I would like to think that somewhere in there is a version of the truth.
Well, look at this. He says, I get notes from Marvel and I get notes from DC. But no, they always said, you can take these or leave these. You can do whatever you want with these. If you want to take these notes, you can take them. If you don't want to take these notes, you don't have to. I've never gotten anything beyond that ever. So it's like they gave notes. Marvel gives more than DC does to me, but they're the same attitude of like, take what you want and leave the rest. I take a lot of them. There's a lot of good ideas in there. Even if I don't take them, one of the main things I do is I try them, especially while I'm editing. I try them out to see if they work.
Oh, I mean, that's entirely reasonable to me. Like, first of all, these are the people that actually have control over this, and listening to them is probably a good idea diplomatically, right?
Yeah.
But second, doing it in editing where it costs less, good call.
Gunn was talking to Variety, and he says there was an alternate ending. There was a change. The original ending that he pitched.
Everyone lives.
No.
More no. people. Everyone died.
He says one main character died and one main character did not die. And the main character who died was Ratcatcher 2.
Oh.
She was so sweet. I just felt it was too dark. Not that we don't love Polka Dot Man. We do. I just couldn't kill Ratcatcher 2. So I relented.
I agree. I mean, I do. I mean, she's such a pure soul.
Plus, killing Polka Dot Man is like the end of his arc. That's what he wanted.
I mean, yeah. He kind of... I didn't expect him to make it.
He's never going to be as happy as he was...
In that moment.
Right then.
Anyway. Yeah. No, that was it. That was peak for him. I mean, I really do. I wouldn't mind seeing him again. And, you know, I think I was talking to Ryan about this. He's theoretically a multidimensional character.
Mm-hmm.
Like, literally a multidimensional character. So,
right.
I don't know. Maybe we get some version of, like, it. You know, I'm not counting him out yet.
Look, whoever's listening out there, if anyone of you know, DC merch note is listening, I would buy a giant Starro plushie. And?
You think I won't sleep with that thing every night? Absolutely, I will.
I won't sleep with it every night. I'll have it on display. And when people come in and look at the Suicide Squad action figures,
no.
And they see Peacemaker and they see Harley and they see Bloodsport, they're going to say, where's Polka Dot Man? And I will walk over to Starro, lift up his foot.
And there he'll be.
There will Polka Dot Man be.
Okay. If you do this, buy two Polka Dot Men. You can have one for display, and that's cool. What we're going to do with the other one is I'm going to put it in a nice, thin metal cylinder and then melt it.
Uh-huh.
We're going to make a little puddle of Polka Dot Man, and we're going to put him under the star.
Mm. No, I couldn't do that. Not even if I had two of them.
Not even with a spare just for that?
No, sir. Can't do it.
I'll find you a used one.
Yeah, you try that.
I'll go buy one and melt it down and just hand it to you. It's done. It's just done. It's over. You don't have to do it.
Okay. So, speaking of ways things could have gone,
mm-hmm.
Gunn says, in an interview with Script Apart, says, there was a time when I thought the Suicide Squad would fight Superman.
Oh, I saw that.
At the time, there were a lot of questions like, who is Superman in the DCEU? Is this movie outside the DCEU? I just didn't want to deal with it all that much.
Don't blame me.
So, you know,
I don't want to deal idea, with it that, all that much.
He says, I have, you know, the vague idea from Suicide Squad versus Superman to yeah, okay, yeah, let's do the other thing. He says they would have had to catch Superman for some reason. It's gotten out of hand, or he's being controlled by someone, and then this group of lousy supervillains has to face the most powerful hero in the world. But, you know, obviously he sketched out this other Starro idea and was like, yeah, let's just do that. I don't want to deal with who's Superman.
I don't blame you. It's also like, that's the game. Literally. That's the upcoming game.
Well, it sounds like that's like not at all anything he would have had to decide. Like, he would have just been like, this is DCU and I want Henry Cavill. And they would have been like, yes, sir. Thank you, sir. We'll contact him immediately, sir.
I don't know. That... I get it. I wouldn't probably want to get into that if I were him either. But that one, if anything, might have been one of the ones where the studio was like, man, that one's a solid no. I don't know if I can do that one for you. Well, why? Because if we bring him in for a hot second, oh, dear God.
And he's evil.
Oh, fuck. That would, I mean, God, I can hear Geoff Johns from here just gnashing his teeth.
I let him gnash.
I agree, but...
We'll call him Nash Bridges.
Yeah, like, the optics of that would be hard to do because of how many complaints were, you know, it's never Smile Superman. and granted, that's a little subgroup of people that I don't think have really actually ever watched the movie in some cases.
Oh, yeah, he smiles plenty.
He smiles plenty. And then, I mean, even in Man of Steel, dude's... I know what his teeth look like. God, come here. Are you kidding me? And then there's this other subset of problems where, like, if you did bring him in and it got momentum, well, now he's got all this leverage that he doesn't have right now. And I don't know. All I'm saying is there's a part of me that understands why they would really not want to do it.
Mm-hmm. So a fan asked James Gunn on Instagram, if there was anything, any new developments other than Peacemaker. And he said, maybe, with a number of grinning / awkward / shrugging emojis. So, DC and Warner Brothers seem pretty pleased with what the Suicide Squad has done. They're just kind of, yay, James.
Yeah, and I think they know internally that the numbers were pretty responsive.
And for all the bullshit that it got, Bloodsport putting Superman in the ICU. That's what made Idris Elba sign on.
Really?
Yeah, they were asking him, like, what would be next for him? He says, well, it wouldn't be next. It would be what came before.
I want to fight Superman.
I would be really interested to see why he went to jail. Why did he shoot Superman? I would love to see that narrative come alive.
Yeah.
I didn't know what character I was playing, but I knew the type of character and I knew the position he played within the storyline. So that's all I needed to understand. And I signed on. But I did know that he was the first guy to put Superman in the hospital because he shot Superman. And that's why he's in jail. That was very intriguing and also became a little bit of a motivation in some of my scenes and my character development. So, like, that was, like, the primary thing that he knew that he was like, yes, let's do that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the movie he wants to see.
Yeah, that's a badass move there. I get it.
By the way, I cannot for the life of me remember the name Bloodsport. I have said it 3 times accurately on this show because I was looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever I've been talking about it with anybody, it's like, I call him Deathstrike. I call him Deathblow. I call him Deathsport. Mm-hmm. The other day I called him Bloodspot, which, by the way, sounds like the villain in a freaking panty liner commercial.
A little bit. Little bit.
Like, I cannot remember that name. Oh, my Lord.
But hold on now. I've gotten that right every time. Your wife's not mad at you, too?
What do you mean?
Not as much?
No.
I mean, I can't get his real life name right, but I've always called him Bloodsport.
That's true.
As long as he's got a mask on, me and him are good.
But it's a weird name, you know.
Kind of not. I mean, it's a pretty badass name, in my opinion.
It's a cool name.
It's a nonsensical one. Like, what the fuck does that even mean, unless you're fighting in a cage for money to the death? But,
well, you know.
It's a cool couple of words to put together.
I mean, I think it's an actual name, man. I mean, I think it's an actual word.
Like Bloodsport?
I think so.
Yeah, and I mean, it's literally, like, in my memory of the word, it's like I said, cage fighting for money to the death. There was a whole series of movies back in the 80s.
Oh, okay.
So that's also what I'm saying, is my knowledge of the word comes from those fucking B-movies. I think Jean-Claude Van Damme might have been involved.
Ah, see, I just looked up Bloodsport in the dictionary, and it says a sport involving the shedding of blood, especially the hunting or killing of animals, which is what I was thinking, like cockfighting.
That's probably more historically accurate than what I was thinking. Yeah. I should not base any part of my lexicon on Jean-Claude Van Damme. And that was a mistake.
You know, I don't generally base any part of mine on any kind of sports, which is probably why I'm having trouble remembering the name.
Possibly. And why you have trouble following my analogies sometimes.
Yeah. I'm like, sports ball, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, right. Don't be one of those fucking ironic people who tries to call it sports ball like you don't know shit.
I don't.
If I threw a baseball at you, you'd know what was coming at you.
I would, and I would duck.
You would duck, and you'd be right too, because I threw it at you. But you would know what was aiming at your head. You're not going to go, oh my God, a basketball, and duck.
Well, I would probably screech.
Could be some of that.
And then I would say something about, and I would probably call it a baseball, but wonder if it was actually a softball, because I don't really know the difference.
Oh.
I know it wouldn't be a football.
Oh, sweetie.
Yeah.
Sweetie. I'm not saying this is required knowledge, just like.
Oh, it better not be, because no.
No, I did have sports in my life as a kid, so all this is a little bit secondhand to me.
One is bigger. Is the softball bigger?
Softball's bigger. You got it. And the secret, neither is soft.
Right. Yeah.
They both hurt like hell when they hit you in the head. I can vouch for that.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I did know that about you, but yes.
Mm-hmm. Question.
Yeah.
Unrelated to sports.
Thank God.
I know. I just can't imagine your joy at that moment. With the Suicide Squad as it is, and the news cycle around it, given the numbers that it's gotten and the interpretation of all that, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are other big franchises that are coming out in the same format. So my question is, do you think Matrix 4 or John Wick 4 would have the same backlash if they'd gotten 28 or whatever it is million this weekend or first weekend?
Mm-hmm.
But same circumstances. Delta variant on the rise. All that. But literally, if they'd just come out this week instead. Or, you know what I mean?
It just depends on who's saying it. Like, I think it's DC, so it's getting more shit. But there are those who would be like, it's Warner Brothers, so screw them. There are those people.
I agree, but thankfully they're a small sliver of what's actually going on. The people that are knowledgeable enough to know that Warner Brothers is a bit of a shit show sometimes, and yet involved enough that they would actually have an opinion on this that was kind of shitty like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a very small sliver in like a Venn diagram in my head. I'd be wrong about that. I hope I'm not wrong about that.
I think the biggest sliver is people who just don't give a shit either way, and they'll watch it if somebody tells them to.
Dude, if Warner Brothers sold the entire DC franchise right now to Disney, I mean, first of all, I might think that would possibly be a good thing. But second, I'm just not ruling it out. Compared to what we have now, I'm just not ruling it out. I'll hear them out. That's all I'm saying. Do you think I wouldn't, like, when the Warner Brothers logo with the Matrix letters showed up in the first few seconds of Matrix 4, do you think I would give a half a fuck? It wouldn't even round up to a whole fuck. Like, there's no way. I would just, okay, Warner Brothers made this movie.
I guess we'll see in what,
you're
December?
Playing that? Yeah, I guess
November,
it is.
Whatever it is.
You're going to play me that little sound over it, and I'm going to be like, that hits home for me. I know that sound effect. That was part of my childhood.
Yeah, well, you know.
Be happy as
and
hell.
Because of that, when Matrix 4 comes out, there's going to be a lot of people who's like, this is not what it was supposed to be because I had a different thing in my head.
There's always that.
You
know the one that would crack me up the most, though, is like, I would love to see people see John Wick 4 and be like, well, that just wasn't what I was expecting. I don't know, dude. I'll bet there's going to be a loose story about an assassin crowd, and then he's going to shoot a bunch of motherfuckers. That's probably going to be the movie.
Yeah.
He's going to say like 8 lines of dialogue the entire time. He's going to kill 700 people. And by the end of the movie, you're going to be wondering how he's still functioning and has blood pumping in his heart. And at the end of the movie, I'm going to go, man, that was an enjoyable fucking 2 hours, and have a great time. Mm-hmm. But then there are going to be people like, well, I just thought the story would, what are your expectations here? You wanted to see Keanu Reeves shoot a bunch of people. That's all. That should be your only expectation.
Yeah.
But yeah, there'll be those people like that.
I mean, I never went to a single Transporter movie expecting a story.
For a second, I thought you meant Transformers, and I was totally on board with
it. No.
I just hear me out. I was thinking That sentence made sense until I heard you. I went back and listened to my head and was like, oh, he said transporter. Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah. Too. Jason Statham. I've never went to any of those movies thinking, man, this is going to be like a masterclass in storytelling. Nope. I went in there, I grinned my dick off, and then I walked out and said, man, that was cool.
Yeah. There was a bunch of chase scenes. Let's go get food. A bunch of people died. A couple of really, you know, badass fucking old Western style lines, and you're out of there. Good job.
He did like martial arts while like sliding around on oil cans. Hell okay, yeah. Cool. He deflected a missile with a serving tray. Let's do it.
Was it good? Define good. I don't know. I walked
it was
in
fun.
Thinking that I was going to have like a certain amount of serotonin and dopamine by the end of that movie. And by God, I did. What else do you want?
Yep.
No, like same thing it's with the not Citizen Kane. That's not my expectation.
Like I watched The Expendables and I sat there and grinned and went, yes, 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 yes.
It's all the marks.
Yes.
I'm down. I'm down. Mm-hmm. Yes,
I
sir.
Don't know what's happening. They're all running around doing action stuff and I'm good. Brain off.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So not a lot of the Batman news to talk about, but the DC Comics is actually collecting a set. They're putting out a box set, the Batman box set, and it includes soft cover editions of the three movies or the three books that Matt Reeves named as inspirations for the new movie specifically. First, The Long Halloween by Jeff Loeb and Tim Sale. Second, Batman Ego and Other Tales by Darwin Cook. Fantastic. Both of those.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Frank Miller and David Mazzucchelli's Batman Year One. And they are housed in a slipcase box with art by Jim Lee. It's the red and black Batman poster art that premiered at FanDome 2020. And it will retail for $63. It'll go on sale March 1st, 2022, just a few days before the March 4th release of The Batman. So, I don't know. I thought that was cool. And I thought I'd mention it because, you know, let's pimp the comics for a second.
Yeah. No, there's a lot of people that would be interested in something like that. I mean, what was the first book again?
Batman The Long Halloween.
Okay. So, I mean, I'm not going to because I already own all those.
Yes, me too.
And one of the few things that has saved me financially is not having to have sets of things like that, even though I lust for them as well. But I can turn that button off in my head.
I'm not particularly lusting after this. Because I do have all of them and I've got that poster on a shirt, so I'm good.
I get it. But yeah. I mean, like for instance, you know, that's what did you say it was?
63.
That $63 Scott just doesn't have anymore. We know that.
Maybe.
I'm giving it at least a 75% chance.
he's talking about Scott of DC Film Squadcast, by the way.
Correct. Thank you for the footnote.
I mean, look, we've got new listeners sometimes. I just thought
that's true. I should add citations at times. I agree.
We've been doing this for 6 years, guys, and we know lots of podcasters.
Yes. We have met a number of people.
And one of our favorites is Scott, who lives in town with us. And
weirdly, it's just such a weird geographical thing.
We reference him a lot.
Yeah. And my point is, like, I don't necessarily need to have that. One of the things I'm excited about is that officially putting that out.
Mm-hmm.
The next time I see an argument about like what comics were and were not considered, I'm just going to repost pictures of it.
Yeah.
The next Twitter thing I scroll into where I'm like, oh, you fucking, what? Hold on. Just here. They literally gave you the source material. I'm not even saying it's necessarily right. It gives me some hope that it's not just like the three most popular Batman, you know, graphic novels of all time.
It's pretty close.
Well, I mean, the two, well, even then, Long Halloween's not, I don't know.
I feel like the Darwin Cook one is a bit of a deep pull.
That's the one that I'm really thinking is like, someone knew what they were talking about.
Well, you know, it's really interesting because it made me wonder because, you know, the Batman Ego is really, it's like, there's literally Batman like fighting his ego.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's, and I don't know, I was just thinking about this friggin' the trailer, the first trailer. What if that's not Riddler's voice saying, what is the price, what is the, you know, price for your blind eye? Like, that, what if it's Batman's ego?
Yeah. I can get behind it.
That would be so dope if they just, like, jumped full-fledged into, like, yes, he has multiple personalities. Yes, he has, like, this, like, super ego Batman character in his brain who's, like, directing him.
Yeah.
That's interesting, man.
They're going to include, like, the shaving himself scene from Dark Knight.
Oh. Well, I don't want him to have that mustache anyway in the first place.
I don't know.
Like Dark Knight Returns. Is that what you're talking about? Where he's Dark like, Returns, yeah. he's got the Tom Selleck mustache.
Yeah, and just sort of like mindlessly shaves it, yeah. Kind of getting back into bat mode without really, like, it's this dark passenger in his head who's pulling the strings a little bit and all that. But I've seen Pattinson with like a full facial hair situation, and I don't think that mustache would be great on him either.
Mm-mm.
I think if he shaved that, most of the audience would just be thinking, oh, thank God.
It's like, why did we bring somebody from the Lonely Island videos over here?
Agreed. And then, sorry, it's like, man.
It's like Pattinson shows up with a mustache and goes, you might like my penis.
Look, man, it's, you know how it is. Facial hair is different on different people. I've done it just for funsies when I was actually shaving from, you know, full hair. And I look awful with a fucking mustache. Just awful. It's terrible. Yeah.
And then you put on those like mirror cop glasses and it was.
I did. I put on some straight Jim Dangle glasses and, you know, even in my thinner days, that is not an attractive man. It's,
I found it humorous.
It's funny, I hope, because that's the only redeeming possible, you know, feature of that picture. It's one of the ones where if my daughter found it years from now, I'd be like, ah, honey, have we talked about marijuana yet? It will make you make some decisions.
Oh, man. I had a mustache for a video that I never actually wound up making. But for about a week, I had a mustache. It was just awful. And I took some pictures, one of me picking my teeth with a knife.
That sounds good.
And my sister, Brittany, posted a picture of me with a mustache and on Facebook and said, "Is my brother with a mustache. He claims it's, quote unquote, for a video." Asshole.
That's brutal. That's brutal. Because now you have to finish it to prove it wrong.
No, it'll never be finished. I wound up shaving it and I was like, I can't. No. I
just can't do this anymore. I get it.
All right, well, we have a lot more show left, including how Michael Keaton felt putting the cape and cowl back on, the classic JSA member joining Black Adam, the surprising inspiration behind Aquaman the Lost Kingdom, and oh yeah, that banging Journey Smollett Black Canary news. Stay with us through this mystery ad. Let's pop over to The Flash real quick, because Michael Keaton's been talking. He was being interviewed by Good Day Chicago's Jake Hamilton.
Okay.
And he said, putting the cowl back on, he says, it was shockingly normal. It was weird. Like, I went, oh yeah, that's right. But also, then you start to play the scenes, and a lot of memories, a lot of interesting sense memories start to come back. He would not confirm if he said, I'm the Batman, or I'm Batman.
Gotta hope so.
And apparently he has not talked to Tim Burton about what he's doing, because they have other stuff to talk about. He compared The Flash to Multiplicity. He says, I just did The Flash, and there's a similarity in how, I don't want to give away too much, but how he has to play against himself and with himself. And we were talking about the difficulty of making Multiplicity and the challenge of it. So he even said that.
It was a funny movie.
I need to rewatch it.
I've never rewatched it. It was like a VHS rental when I was 9 or some shit. But I thought it was funny when it happened.
Yep. So he was talking to the Hollywood.
That's all.
All I really remember is the mentally challenged version of himself saying, "She touched my peppy."
There was that version. I think that was the same one that was shaving his tongue.
Okay. So he was talking to the Hollywood Reporter, and he says, frankly, in the back of my head, I've always thought, I bet I could go back and nail that motherfucker. He's talking about the Batman, not the Flash. And he said he loved the script. He loved the script that Christina Hodson wrote. And he says, I thought, well, now that they're asking me, let me see if I can pull that off. He said, I had to read it more than three times to go, wait, how does this work?
That interests me.
Yeah. And he's talking about the multiverse storyline. He says, they had to explain that to me several times. By the way, I'm not being arrogant, I hope, about this. I don't say it like, I'm too groovy. I'm stupid. There's a lot of things I don't know about. And so I don't know. I just kind of figured it out, but this was different. What's really interesting is how much more I got Batman when I went back and did him. I get this on a whole other level now. I totally respect it. I respect what people are trying to make. I never looked at it, oh, this is just a silly thing. It was not a silly thing when I did Batman, but it has become a giant thing culturally. It's iconic. Oh, so I have even more respect for it because what do I know? This is a big deal in the world to people. You've got to honor that and be respectful of that. Even I go, Jesus, this is huge.
Yeah, good man. He's not wrong. We care very much about this.
Have you seen the trailers for this new thing he's in where he's, what is it, the Protege or something? Where he's like, he's basically just Michael Keaton being John Wick. It's
oh, I saw like 2 seconds awesome. Of that on a feed somewhere and kept scrolling. I want to say it reminded me of like the Hitman's Bodyguard when I saw just a couple seconds.
Huh.
Another movie that like is probably worth a couple of mindless hours, you know?
Oh, yeah. No, I just, you know, sure. I'll watch Nobody with Michael Keaton.
Yeah, sure.
Sure, sure.
You know, I wonder if like his Birdman experience gave him a little bit of extra insight into this.
Sure. I think it did. Yeah.
Also, look, he was a very talented actor when he took the role, and I'm sure he grew into his craft in the time. Of course, he's gotten some new insight and some new ideas. Course. Mm-hmm. Like the man's good at his job. I have no doubt he's got a fuller, better understanding of how he wants to play this, and it'll probably fucking blow us away, for being honest.
Yeah. I'm excited to see him again.
No, I'm deeply excited. I'm deeply excited for you. Part of me just knows how much you've always wanted to see something like this. Uh-huh. It just makes me very happy that you get this. It really does.
Yep. Thank you, man.
It's good stuff.
So Black Adam reportedly is going to be featuring the original Adam, according to a report from the direct, which, you know, is a little iffy. Let's be honest.
Mm-hmm.
But this does make sense. The version of the character appearing is Al Pratt and will act as an uncle figure to Noah Centineo's Adam Smasher. So yeah, that all tracks. That makes sense. And, you know, we're talking about JSA here, Al Pratt. Absolutely. Let's do it.
Okay. Yeah.
This was just fun. James Wan revealed his inspiration for Aquaman 2. Apparently, it is inspired by the campy 1960s Italian horror film Planet of the Vampires. Wow. Now, this movie was... It was released in 1965, pulpy science fiction horror film that follows the crew members of two spaceships that crash land on an unexplored planet. And then things, you know, of course, turn horrific when the disembodied inhabitants of said planet possess the bodies of the crew killed in the crash, reanimating their corpses to kill the survivors. So Lost Kingdom, is it going to be the Planet of the Vampires? I'm interested. I want to know where this is going.
It's got to be a little bit trench related, right? Maybe.
I mean, it's the Lost Kingdom, not the Kingdom of the Trench. So
I know, but it just, when you say like Planet of the Vampires, the image I get is those fuckers.
Hmm. Me too, but.
But yeah, it doesn't have
to. They weren't the Lost Kingdom.
No, I know. It doesn't have to go there at all. It's just drawing from the first movie where I went with it.
But, yeah.
Oh, I might try to add that to my, my day at some point, Planet of the Vampires. I'm actually just going to write that down. I'm also, just, I love I love classic monsters deeply.
Uh-huh.
If there were no comic books, DC and Marvel and everything to worry about and spend my mental energy on, I would have spent it on classic monsters and paranormal. And I still do. There's mm-hmm. just only so many neurons you can fire in a day, you know?
I know. I've seen your office.
There's plenty of stuff in there. Yeah. Yeah, like, so something like Planet of the Vampires, released in 65, it's probably just fucking awful. But awful in a way that's going to be hilarious. I don't know. I'm deeply curious. I'm going to watch that soon. That just sounds terrible and good.
Look, the film has been cited to be an influence for a number of other things, including Aliens and Prometheus. So, you know, I think, you know, lots of people have dug on that. Lots of people in the creative community have dug on that, you know, over the decades. Did you see, first of all, did you see that the Blue Beetle, Blue Beetle's going to get his own movie on HBO Max?
Yeah.
Did you see who they're casting?
Oh, no. Wait, hold on. Let me go ahead and get the internet out because you're going to tell me a name I don't know. Go ahead.
Yeah, and when I say it, you're not going to know how to spell it.
Give me a shot.
Zolo Maraduena.
I didn't say it right. Ooh, I was close. Oh, he looks good for this.
Right. He's great. I really like him in Cobra Kai. I've watched every season of Cobra Kai. I really enjoy that show. And I really like him. So I like him playing Highlighter is.
Don't know that I've ever seen him in Fuck All, but man, he does look like a Jaime. And I know, Cobra Kai is one of those that I wish I had more time to watch. I would, not a matter of disinterest in any capacity. It's just hadn't happened. But I've heard so many good things about the show that just him being on it is a bit of a boon.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's, I do genuinely think that it is better than the movies, than the Karate Kid movies.
Well, given the context of how much time has passed, it kind of has to be in a way.
Not really. Like, you know, some of these things, like the awful looking Turner and Hooch.
Oh,
sequel
for sure.
Series on Disney Plus. Or,
well, here's my.
You know, the new Mighty Ducks show is just dog shit, you know?
Yeah, there are definitely going to be exceptions to my rule, for sure. Here's my hypothesis, though. Overall, 80s movie that... all right, full hypothesis. 80s movie that includes montage. And not reboot, but kind of like a... what's the word I want? Like a sequel-ish version of that that's an actual show rather than another movie.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if it's on a streaming service. My hypothesis
What? But actually goes to the trouble of turning it on its ear and making the protagonist the villain from the first movie.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that helps for sure. But, like, even without that, I'm saying that, like, if you go from montage 80s movie to streaming service TV thing 25 years later, theory is it's probably going to be, like, I'm not going to say a better experience because there's a lot to be said for an 80s movie with a montage. That shit got us through the 80s. But
it did.
I mean, even like Stripes had something. But
yeah, for my money, Stripes.
Fuck, even Ghostbusters, you know, kind of has a montage when they're coming up, man. You know, for a second when they've got the business going and they hit a few calls. You know?
The montage in Stripes was the end of the good part. The last act of Stripes is like, eh.
I agree. Act one and act two are the strong suits here.
Once they're actually, like, in a war, I'm just like, this is kind of boring. They're just riding around in a tank now.
Yeah, they're just riding around in an RV tank, and Larroquette's mad about the whole thing. And
yeah.
Of course, they're still funny. Anyway, it's a whole other discussion.
I do need to watch
that. Whole other discussion.
Let's watch Stripes again and have a whole conversation about it.
Let's just make random Bill Murray movies like a Patreon thing we do.
We should, just dude. I watch random Bill Murray movies just for shits and giggles. Yeah.
Let's just do commentary tracks to Bill Murray movies for fun as a sidebar on the Patreon thing.
Oh God!
Look, man, we've done it. I don't know how many hours we've spent, me and you, just watching a Bill Murray movie, laughing our dicks off.
That's right.
We'll go for it.
As much as our dicks get knocked in the dirt, as much as we laugh our dicks off, I don't. Yeah, we're superhuman. I think.
Yeah. Resilient
dicks keep growing. Our dicks keep growing back.
Very like resilient tools. Dicks. Resilient metaphorical dicks.
We're the lizard dick brothers.
Right. Salamander is what you want, really, probably, I think. It's faster.
Mm. Anyway.
I loathe the fact that it's faster is somehow the end of that little interchange. We failed. But anyway.
I don't even know what we were trying to attempt.
I don't know either, but it's faster at? After Life? This like ridiculous conversation about dicks just didn't make me particularly happy. I don't know why.
Are you done talking about Cobra Kai and why it's good, even though you haven't seen it?
Probably. I'm just saying I trust that it is. I've heard from people that have, yourself included, that it was solid, and I believe you.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is the thing that I'm the most excited about, all right? And it's in development, so we don't know if it's absolutely going to happen. But Misha Green, showrunner from Lovecraft Country, is writing a screenplay for an HBO Max movie for Black Canary.
Hell yeah.
Journey Smollett's Black Canary. Journey was in Lovecraft Country.
Mm-hmm. And notably Birds of Prey.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Journey had said, it's no secret how much I love Black Canary. It's a dream character and was a dream to play her. And this was
I've seen her a kind while of back. Float some hype several times about such a
yeah.
an adventure.
Yeah. And there, I saw she had a photo of a bunch of Black Canary graphic novels or something that she was teasing us.
Yeah,
saw that. With. And then, so yeah, it looks like this may have been a tease several months ago with Variety. She said, it's no secret how much I love Black Canary. It's a dream character and was a dream to play her. If the dynamics fell in the right way, I would absolutely do it in a heartbeat. And Lord knows, because they were asking about Misha. I follow Misha wherever she leads me. And then Misha Green said, I mean, you can't help but imagine it a little bit. Like, what would I do with a Black Canary show? It'd be exciting. I know that. And now she's doing a Black Canary movie with Journey. So, and then she on Twitter after the news broke said, we're just at the very beginning of a long journey to the screen. But obviously, I couldn't turn down the chance to put the damn and the Black Damn Canary with Journey Smollett. And then she said, whispers, so I'm thinking something like... And then she gave us a bunch of emoji. And there was like a bird and music and a microphone. There were two women wrestling. And a tiger face, which I'm thinking Bronze Tiger. I don't know. Maybe I'm just thinking of the first thing that comes to mind, but...
I know. And also, it's an interesting character that we've a few times thought, I'd like to see that.
So I'm down. I am very excited about this.
Oh, yeah.
And no,
this was the best news I saw today because I haven't had a lot of time today.
I thought you were going to be like, it's not been a good day.
No, I just...
Jason.
I'm just at the end of like a 15-hour day and... the moments I got to actually glimpse a Twitter feed or something like that were just it toward the second half. I saw a couple I scrolled past that a couple times and thought, well, it's one of the, like sometimes I do that. Like I'll scroll past and not think much of it because it seems kind of extraordinary. And then maybe you just don't have more than 7 or 8 seconds to look at something and put the phone back down. I got to do something else. And then look at it again. And then, you know, today I had that moment where I scrolled and was like, hold on, that's Hollywood Reporter that said that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh shit. That's real.
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was absolute fire as that character. And I kind of deeply hope that part of me hopes the title is substantially long just for funsies. But I wouldn't mind. Like, I wouldn't mind if Huntress got one after her. Like, fucking cycle them out. A lot of people pointed out that it's, you know, it's HBO Max movie. If that is the case, same universe, we're going to have a Batgirl.
I love that they're just doing like, they're just like, you know what? We're just going to announce these as HBO Max movies and just not even deal with the theater.
Oh, fuck yes. Look, man, if the press treated your numbers that way in box office, especially under these circumstances with Suicide Squad. Look, I would, given the timing of this, like 2 weeks after Suicide Squad came out, would you be surprised if there was a part of the Warner Brothers team that was deciding somewhat, do we make this a same date and day or do we make this HBO Max? And looked at the press concerning the actual box office numbers and said, you know what, fuck that shit. Let's just make this an HBO Max strength. This is what it's going to be.
Yep. Yep.
Fuck the theaters. Fuck the theaters. Fuck the bad press. Fuck the numbers. Fuck all that. We're just going to go straight into this somewhere that we've got, you know, numbers we can dubiously hide a little bit, but hype and Google Trends that you can still fight. Like, there are still ways to do some analytics on this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Researchers are clever people. They will find a way. Like, numbers will come out. But, yeah, like, I wouldn't be surprised if this was the determining factor. Was this last round of press with Suicide Squad.
You know, we've got, I think they've been leaning this way anyway, especially for B-level characters. And, you know, I'm down with it. I'm cool.
Oh, absolutely. And I think it'll give them the most freedom.
HBO Max, honestly.
And you know what? You're going to miss some stuff from time to time. Like, well, the same way they kind of missed with Joker. Like, they effectively just pawned away a certain portion of the profit of that film to not have taken the risk to make it. And, that thing topped $1 billion in a heartbeat. But something like that, I could see them saying, you know, like, you know what, it's a story by itself. Let's just make that an HBO Max thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I would probably make that decision if I was them and if I were them anyway, but, you're going to miss every once in a while. Like maybe the Batgirl movie would have made $1 billion. I don't know, but you can put it on the streaming service and probably capitalize on that in some capacity. And that's fine too.
Yeah. I mean, I think they're pushing this. What they're saying is these are B-level characters. We're going to put them on HBO Max because you can't have everything out in the theater at once. What I'm hearing is we're trying to normalize HBO Max as our movie outlet platform because theaters are going away.
I mean, that's my interpretation as well. I mean, there are parts of it I wouldn't mind at all. Look, if you told me Man of Steel 2 was going to be Henry Cavill, same universe, following all of these things, and it was HBO Max, I would throw my chair into the wall from joy, just not knowing what else to do with my hands.
Mm-hmm.
And besides,
it makes it a lot easier. It makes it a lot easier to say, well, we always envision this as an HBO Max original.
It's
a lot easier to do that than to like fight with theater owners about only releasing on anything. Just don't deal with them.
It just I mean, that was like, it's the every reason week we even got this,
like three articles about angry theater owners.
I know. And man, I get it. That's their livelihood being threatened. I would be pretty fucking uppity myself, but it's part of an ongoing movement that I just don't know how sustainable it really is. And it's not that the theater owners can't find a way to subsist. It's that the current model was never maybe going to work altogether. I mean, before any of this happened, in 2018, people were talking about how it's just really hard to make a profit at some theaters because, like, that's why your popcorn is $7 a kernel.
Mm-hmm.
And they give you this fountain drink that's basically like a 5-gallon bucket. Because soda water costs nothing, and they need to sell it for $54 an ounce. Like, but they do all that because they were just barely making ends meet as far as buying the movies and the rights to actually air them. And that's with them having all the buying power of the world of being like AMC and Regal and having basically like two major outlets that had like could collude even if they really wanted to and have some serious buying power.
Yep.
And it was already a hard-pressed business model. You can't tell me when something like COVID hit that it didn't affect it in ways that are – it's never going to be the same again. just can't be. There are other things they could pivot to for sure. Like, honestly, I would start renting out theaters for the night for a price to whatever the fuck they wanted to throw out there.
Oh, I was going to suggest making cardboard penguins on Etsy.
I think my idea is a little more manageable.
Probably.
Now, granted, they have the space to manufacture such a thing like you're talking about. But, you know, whether they have the orders to justify that kind of volume is different. Also, if you're right, I do absolutely want to see a shot of all the theater seats full of cardboard penguins.
Yeah, I do too.
And I want to watch them I want to see a shot from behind where they're watching March of the Penguins. Why would I not want that?
Of course you
do. Yeah. Or I want to see them all afraid for a second, and then we look up and the movie they're watching is Free Willy, because for them, that is a story of a nightmare getting released back into the sea.
Yeah.
These are all things that would make me happy.
Mm-hmm. Shall I go on to our next story?
Absolutely.
Our final story, I should say.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, no, it's not our final story.
Wait, no, I added something.
Nope, I have three things after that. Anyway. Breck Basinger is talking about season 3 of Stargirl. She says our showrunner, Jeff Johns, mm-hmm. has 6 seasons planned in his head. I've been hearing about the 3rd season since I booked the show, which is fun. I'm always excited for the next thing. But more recently, I had a deeper conversation with him about the whole storyline of season 3, and I am freaking pumped. There's been a lot of slow burners that you've been asking about, and in season 3, a lot of that comes right to the forefront, as of now. Obviously, those things are always subject to change, but I think there'll be a lot of payoff in season 3.
I like it.
Yeah.
I mean, the show...
That's fun.
It keeps moving. It's not... I've only seen that season, but, like, it keeps moving.
Yeah, I've seen the premiere. I aside from a wayward special effect, I haven't noticed any kind of dip in quality, honestly.
Cool. Because it was a solid ass show.
Mm-hmm. Dana DeVito.
Not a name I expect to hear when we're talking.
I know. He is going to be writing the Penguin.
I just start from scratch. What?
Okay. So, DC Comics is putting out a Gotham City Villains Anniversary Giant, which is an anthology comic celebrating the various members of Batman's Rogues Gallery.
Mm-hmm.
And Danny DeVito is writing a story about Penguin for it. It is his debut as a comic book writer.
I mean, goddamn, I'm there for it. That sounds fantastic. Right?
According to the official solicitation, DeVito's story in the Gotham City Villains Anniversary Giant will be drawn by Dan Mora, which also...
I know that name.
Huzzah.
Yep.
Fantastic. And will serve as an anniversary celebration for the Penguin, who first appeared in Detective Comics 58 in December of 1941.
That's beautiful. Do you want me to order a second copy?
Would you?
Yeah, absolutely. Remind me.
Thank you, buddy.
Tomorrow, if you would. But
thank you.
Absolutely.
All right. So just to let you know, the Superman the Animated Series Blu-ray is available for pre-order. It is 54 episodes, and they have all been remastered from the original 35mm sources with a focus on, quote, color correction dirt and scratch cleanup and adding a grain reduction pass to create a pristine picture. The series will be presented in its original 4:3 aspect ratio, and the audio was transferred from the original masters. So that's there. It looks like it's going to be about $70. You can also just watch it on HBO Max for free right now, because you can watch all that in HD on HBO Max right now.
Mm-hmm.
But not that I'm trying to steer you away from physical or anything. I'm just saying.
I mean, I can happily be steered away from physical on that.
Right. All right. Well, that's it. That's all I've got.
I don't think I'll be able to see the HD over, you know, the tears of Bizarro making that sacrifice.
Dude, I was just telling Bethany about that.
It's a very emotional moment.
We were just talking about Bizarro. Because I got the McFarlane Bizarro figure and... I was kind of explaining Bizarro to her.
He, and of course, he I had to
bring
bad.
Up the I had to bring up the fact that, you know, from the bit from Justice League Unlimited where he's like, seems like he's putting together that maybe something's wrong with Lex. And he goes, does this mean that Lex am Bizarro's mommy?
I forgot about that. God, I've got to go back through the entire fucking animated series. But I don't have like 3 weeks I can just take off and do that.
And I had to tell her about the on Bizarro's little world where Superman left him, and he's like got all like the stones and stuff like with faces painted on him. He's like, everything is good, and he starts whistling and looking up to the side, and he like kicks the boulder down the hill.
Yes.
Oh no!
And goes to save it. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. It was like a painted on face of another boulder or some shit.
Uh-huh. Anyway.
Oh, it was such a cute ending, man. It's adorable.
Mm-hmm.
Just fucking adorable.
Bizarro's great.
He is. He is. Even when he's like straight, you know, even when he's actually like literally a villain in the story, when you see him in it, you're like, oh, he just doesn't know. That's all. Like, there's no malice. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's just confused.
Poor guy.
I know.
Anyway, we are DC on screen. You can find every episode for free on dconscreen.com. You can, of course, do all sorts of things over there, like support us in various ways that are helpful to keep the lights on. And yeah, if you want to converse with me, I tweet at David C. Robertson on Twitter. Jason is at DuckDuckGoss. And the show is at DC on Screen. So we check all of them pretty regularly, I would say. Mm-hmm. Something else I'm going to plug, Drawing with Dave is one of my Instagram accounts. Mm-hmm. It's where I post all my artwork, and I do a lot of Batman, Joker fan art. I do a lot of DC related stuff, a lot of Star Trek related stuff. If you're interested in any of that, I recently did a Batman Doctor Who mashup, except it was Adam West Batman and, you know, John Pertwee Doctor. Because they were close in years in our time, so
it was
a lot of fun.
Time capsule kind of piece.
Mm-hmm.
I know I'm partial saying this, but it's really good stuff, and I genuinely suggest you check it out.
Thank you, man.
You got a style. You definitely got a style, and it's good.
Do I?
Mm-hmm.
I never feel like I have a style.
But I feel like I fucked you up right now just saying that.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like I don't have a style. My younger sister, who, you know, also like went to school for art, and she's a graphic designer, and she draws, like she's illustrating a children's book right now.
Yeah, she's great
too. Yeah, but she's always like, she's like my younger sister, like, so she's always, there was a point I feel like where, you know, everyone was like, she looks up to you, and then somewhere in her teens, like that went from she looks up to you to you have disappointed her, and now she will she is going to like better you. So like somewhere in her brain, like it's just, I was like, yeah, we were talking about art, and I was like, yeah, I don't think I have a style, and she was like, oh yeah, you've definitely got a style. And with this like face of disgust, I was like, what does that mean? Why did you say it like that? She's like, I don't know, it's just kind of thick lines, really kind of boxy. I'm like, I'm a John Romita Jr. fan.
I'm not even saying that.
She's like, I can tell.
That's not like, it's honestly not even a bad interpretation of your style. I just, I mean, for one, personally, I like it more than John Romita Jr.
Oh, well, God, that's high praise. I'm a huge John Romita Jr. fan.
I mean, I am too. I just, it's an aesthetic. I don't think the lines are as thick, and you know, the eyebrows don't look like they're on a Cro-Magnon. Like,
that's true. Well, sometimes I really have to pull back from that.
Well, I mean, I know it's tempting because you want to, you know, make sure they're seen, but yeah, it's you, like, you do have a style for sure. But I'm sure you could get outside of that if you wanted to. I mean, you know, I'm sure you could do lots of styles if you actually felt like it.
Yeah, yeah, I can do lots of different styles, but you know, style is really, like, a lot of artists worry about what their style is, mm-hmm. and style is really just what you can't help but do.
Oh yeah.
So like, yeah. I could do a Bruce Timm style, but I have tells.
Yeah.
There are things in the drawing that you're like, yeah, that's a Dave. Look at that.
Yeah.
So.
I get it.
Yeah, anyway.
I mean, not as much as I used to. Even when I was writing songs more regularly, like, yeah, I could kind of tell it was something I would choose.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes now I'll write something and I'm like, yeah, it sounds kind of like something I would do.
Yeah, the most wonderful / horrendous thing I've come across for myself is my wife will be listening to, you know, she'll get backed up on episodes of ours, and then she'll go back and listen. So, like, I won't remember the conversation, but I'll totally sit there and just be like, ah, I'll hear something you said. I'm like, ah, I should have said that. And then I will say that. And I'm like laughing, but going, God, I'm predictable.
No, I've done that too.
So pathetic.
I've sometimes editing, I'll think something, and then I'll find that I've said it and think, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, at least I have a brand in a way.
Yeah, that's a way to put it.
And you and I have had many conversations where, like, we've had this conversation, and over and over again, my question is like, well, did I have the same opinion? And, you know, so far I'm batting 1,000. Like, I don't change my opinion, but my memory may not, you know, connect the two things.
Right.
And yeah. I consider that a sign that my brain is still roughly intact. It's when I start, like, just flying off and having different opinions that I'll start to really get worried.
Mm-hmm. I'll try to let you know if I'm not already there myself.
I mean, that's fair, too. But definitely, if you catch me doing it, let me know. Like, well, you know.
Half of the purpose for this podcast for me was just, you know, trying to make sure that we keep up with each other and, you know, keep each other grounded.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's basically like if something really happens to my brain, I can tell someone to review thousands of hours worth of audio and see where it went wrong. Mm-hmm.
That's right. So look.
And I have to pay probably hundreds of thousands for the time per hour for that service. But, you know, honestly, that's a good point. It would probably cost less to just kill myself at that point. But, you know, we'll get over that cost benefit analysis when we get there.
Yeah. You know.
I mean, I could just die mysteriously and leave a life insurance policy, or I could spend our entire life savings trying to figure out what's wrong with me. And, you know, sometimes you got to do the math. You know, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah. So if I ever just come over, knock on the door, and you open it, and I go, "So Hunter S. Thompson," you'll know.
Yeah, and I'll be like, "All right, cool.
It's so time."
I apparently set this in motion. Just let me put it on a good record. If is that, and you'll be like, "No, you said that would be the case." And like, okay, cool.
I've already made arrangements for the family to be out of the house. Oh, damn, you're cold, Dave. I know.
Yeah, I'm gonna
this is why you chose me for this assignment.
I'm gonna play I'm the Walrus, and somewhere in the coda, just go ahead and make it happen.
Oh, no, this is what you're gonna have to do. I'm leaving too. You're not getting an assisted suicide from
I thought I'd made a better
good
deal.
Lord, no.
Are we not friends, sir?
We are.
This is what they do for each other.
No, it's not. It most certainly
standard
is not.
Friendship. Standard friendship rules. We'll kill the other on request.
What's sad is I'm coming over to your house tomorrow, so I'll just, as soon as you open the door, I'll be like, Hunter S. Thompson.
And you're like, I really hope you do, and I hope I don't remember what the fuck we were talking about. That is my great. Like, I encourage you, please do that. And I hope for a second, I'm like, what the fuck? Oh, God damn it.
Well, I'm telling you now so that I can enjoy your reaction of knowing what the joke is. And I'll do it tomorrow with the joy of having to explain what the joke was.
No, that's cool. I'm going to have like a psychological break overnight for no good reason. And you're going to show up. I'm gonna, like, I'm going to be sweaty. Look like I haven't bathed for 3 days. You won't register that up front. You, just for a second, because you plan this, you're going to be like, that's what's going on. And then I'm just going to like pull a gun on you.
Oh, God.
And just take this in a very different direction.
Please don't. Yeah. Because I have anxiety, too.
I'm going to go into one of Pattinson's earlier movies.
And all joking aside, no suicide is ever condoned by this show.
Not even close. Like, yeah. Reach out in general. Reach out to me for all I care. Yeah.
Yeah, you might not want to listen to them, but reach out.
Nope. But I do have resources and some training. Reach out.
Ooh, training. Anyway, we need to go.
That's bound.
DCOnScreen.com. Thank you for listening. And all those other things. And never say never. It's a good way to end it.
Yeah.
Man, Feige said never say never.
Yeah, I know. It's a good bookmark. Good bookends, I guess. I mean, for now, all right. The wife's out of town. My dog is inconsolable.
Yeah, he doesn't take it well when she's gone. He does not.
I'm going to go probably just put that 90-pound thing on my shoulders and walk around with him for a while so he knows he's not alone.
Mm-hmm. Poor guy.
We're going to have a good cuddle.
We'll end it there before it gets weird. Keep some DC on your screen.
Cuddle with your dogs, man. It's fine.
That's fine.
They're warm and loving.
I just want to end it before it gets weirder.
No, that's fair.
That's fine. Cuddle with your dogs. Don't slip it a pickle. Don't.
You got to make it weird. You just, you know, just put her arm around the neck, you know, pet the air a little bit and pass out, you know, go to sleep. It's good. It's good.
Mm-hmm.
They like it.
Too. I just, you know, I'm not a bestiality guy. I don't believe in that.
I'm more of a consent guy than, yeah, you know, I agree. But they're, you know, they're pack animals largely. They don't mind a good cuddle.
Mm-hmm. Neither do I. All right.
I agree.
Goodbye.
Keep some DC on your screen.
Our intro music is by Jason Goss and Michael Shackelford. Michael's band, Galactic Engineers of Magnetic Sounds, or GEMS, can be found on SoundCloud and Bandcamp. Visit DCOnScreen.com to find our Patreon, merch, contact information, and every episode of the show for free, including crossovers we've done with other podcasts. DC OnScreen is a maladjusted production. For more from me and Jason, including sketch comedy, vlogs, parodies, and our improvised web series Hey Guy, visit maladjusted.tv.